This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you think you might be feeling depressed, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, today's sponsor, BetterHelp, is here to help you. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you. Talk to your therapist in a private online environment at your convenience. There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapist network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you can get matched with a therapist in as little as 48 hours. Then you schedule secure video and phone sessions. Plus, you can exchange unlimited messages, and everything you share is completely confidential. You can request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime. Join the 3 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/tunfiltered. That's betterhelp.com/tunfiltered. Welcome to the Tea Unfiltered podcast. My name is Brianna Dean and I am your host. Today, I have a special guest, Mandy Latham. She is here to share her story about a health crisis she experienced and how it ultimately led her to start her podcast. Mandy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you so much for joining me. I know this isn't the first time we talked, and last time you shared a little bit about your experience with me, and I'm excited for you to share it with the listeners as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I really enjoyed our conversation, and I'm excited to get the opportunity to share with the listeners about myself. So I'm 43 now, and when I was 38 back in 2019, I got really sick. I'd had irritable bowel syndrome for a long time, for about 20 years, and then we had a mold outbreak in our house, and I just hadn't been feeling great for a few months, but I was doing pretty well, and then a particular weekend in April came along and I got really sick feeling. I was going to the bathroom a lot. I was vomiting a lot and I was in a great deal of pain. And I ended up going to the hospital. It was the first time I'd ever gone to the hospital and I was really nervous. They did an evaluation on me and determined that I had developed diverticulitis, which is pockets inside of your large intestines where food and illness can get trapped. And so for me, something had caused a weakening in my intestinal lining, and then it caused these pouches, and then I got a deep infection inside of my intestines. And they went ahead and hospitalized me, which is not generally needed for diverticulitis. It's often an outpatient situation, sent home with antibiotics and medication to manage symptoms and follow up with your primary care doctor. So my white blood cell count was so elevated, though, that they felt they needed to hospitalize me, and I had to have IV antibiotics over the course of that whole weekend. And I was still really not feeling well. I felt like the pain had been reduced, but I was still not feeling great. And I was about to be discharged from the hospital. The doctor had an intuition that something additional was going on with me, and he was going to have my CT scan reviewed and just kind of double check some things. And during that time, I went to the bathroom and attempted to have a bowel movement, and my colon perforated. It exploded inside of me. And it was the worst pain. I can't even describe it. I've had a natural unmedicated childbirth, and it definitely topped that. It just was ongoing, extreme pain. During that time, I had had my IV removed, so I wasn't able to get medication right away. They had to wait for it to come in an injection form. It couldn't go straight into the IV. And my body was starting to really be racked by this pain. I was experiencing just like waves of feeling like it was going to overtake me. And I had a spiritual awakening. I had a point where I actually felt myself leave my body. I elevated above myself and I could see myself on the hospital bed. And then I came back into my body. And then I started to call out to beings of light and love to surround me and protect me. And then I felt myself leave my body again, and I was taken to another place. It's classified as a near-death experience, but I feel that I experienced a level of dying. And I think there's more that can happen that keeps you on the other side. But I definitely left what we experience in this life and went to some place that was the most soothing, loving, pain-free place I've ever experienced. Everything looked white and felt white. I felt like I have no body. I had all of my awareness and consciousness, and I could move through time and existence in a totally different way. It was really profound. I was given a choice to continue on in that area or come back into this incarnation and this life, and I chose to come back. I feel like my soul has more to learn and achieve and experience and share, and I want to see my child grow up. You know, I want to be with my husband. We've cultivated this really great family together, and we want to experience that. So it wasn't like a conversation like you and I have with our voices. It was more like a mental knowing. I have this choice to either stay or come back. And so the moment that I chose to come back, I was back in the hospital room. I was back in my body, back in the pain. I was back in the despair of not knowing what was going on, because at that time, I didn't actually know that my colon had perforated. I just knew something inside hurt more than it had before. And so the hospital, they finally did their process and they got me the pain relief and it took it down a notch. And then I was given a new CT scan and they discovered that my organ had failed and fecal matter was filling my body cavity. I was septic. And they told me, you're going to have an emergency surgery. We're going to remove a good portion of your colon to take this out. We're going to fit you with a colostomy bag. You'll have it temporarily, probably half a year. And we need to get you into this surgery in less than an hour because your body is failing. And I was just terrified. I was terrified of what that meant for me, what that meant for my life, what that meant for my, you know, abilities or limitations, and for the pain that would come from the surgery. So I had that surgery and it was successful. They removed 18 inches of my colon. They gave me the colostomy bag and I had to learn a lot. I had to rely on people in ways that I had not before. I tend to be pretty independent and self-sufficient and self-motivated and I'll figure it out, do it myself kind of person. And that does not fly when you cannot dress yourself, when you cannot cleanse yourself, when you cannot get yourself up out of bed or back down into bed independently. So I had to do a lot of surrender, a lot of turning it over to that higher power, that source energy that I felt I connected with when I had that experience. And I learned that when I had to surrender everything that I thought I was, I learned what I really am. That's how I feel about it. I learned that I'm connected in a way that I didn't know I was connected before, with other people, with the power that powers all of us, you know, God, source, creator, depending what you want to call it. I learned that I can tap into the healing powers of my body in ways that I never imagined. And I learned about all these healing modalities that I had no idea existed before this journey. So it's been an extremely challenging 4-year long healing and spiritual awakening journey. Some would call it a dark night of the soul. And it has led me to realize we're all innately healers. We all have been taught to smother that, but we can revive it. When I was removed from everything I thought made me, I had the realization that it's illusions and distractions, that I am this energy that exists inside of this body, the soul, meant to be experiencing life and the range of sensations that come with it. It's been hard. I've had complications since those first two surgeries. I've had to have a total of 5 surgeries in 4 years. I have to do physical therapy. I have some limitations on things that I have to do differently in my life. And I've had to modify my diet. I had a 3-year-old at the time who's now 7.5. And so my husband and I have had to learn how to adjust our parenting as my abilities and my limitations have shifted over these years. And it's been a lot of lessons in surrender, in acceptance, advocacy, self-understanding, and love for my true self, not just based on what I thought I got value from, which I thought was what I was doing, right? Like actions, I thought if I had to do something productive, but really being and existing is enough. And so I still am working on, not like a master of all these things, but it's just been lesson after lesson on the practice of stepping into these things.
Yeah, we're all just learning as we're going though, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So I got a question. Okay, so let me start off by just letting everybody know. Me and Mandy, I feel like we really had a deep connection because, you know, you had the colostomy bag and I've also had one as well. So I'm not going to go into the full story, but, you know, I was in a car accident. I told you about it and yeah. I had to wear one for a period of time as well. So I understand, and I understand what you're saying about having to have other people do things for you and relying on others and how that can be difficult. And fortunately for me, I was 17 when this happened to me versus you were an adult and you had a kid. I can't imagine going through that. And then the guilt you must have felt as a mother to not be able to be there for your child like you wanted to, because I know you couldn't, even since you had to rely on other people for yourself, you know? Yeah. So kudos to you. I know you did the best you could. And I know you're doing a great job as a mother now, but I can't imagine how hard that must have been on top of everything.
Yeah, thank you. It really was. When I went into the hospital, we had never been separated more than about 6 hours at a stretch, because I'm a stay-at-home parent. I'm an extended breastfeeder, so we were still nursing and breastfeeding daily. We homeschool still, so it was like I've already established into our lifestyle that he and I would be together. We were very much that dyad, that breastfeeding combination dyad. And so I had a lot of guilt and fear being away from him and worrying about how his needs were going to change and how my ability to meet them was going to change, how my husband would adapt to, you know, filling in where I couldn't, and how we would get support from people outside of our home just to do the things that we needed to do, because he still needed to go to work, so, you know, 5 days a week, 40 hours a week. And from the time that he left in the morning until the time that he got home in the evening, I needed someone to tend to me and to a three-year-old for several months. I was medically homebound. I was unable to leave the house. I had a home nurse that came every 3 days, and she would change the dressing on my surgical site, which was called a wound vac, which is a big pressurized machine that attaches to you and have this medical sponge thing that they put inside of the wound, and then they have to change that out as the wound is healing. And that went on for several months. And so I really did have to, again, surrender to the fact that I could not control or change the circumstances and just try to make the best that I could of it. Miraculously, I have to tell you, somehow through all of that, through surgery, sepsis, 15 days of hospitalization, I was dehydrated. I was medicated, you know, I was required to go without food and water during certain times based on what I was going through medically at the hospital. I still retained my milk supply and I was able to come home and still breastfeed.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know how that happened, but I'm really grateful that it did.
Yeah.
I got home. I tried to pump while I was there, and I don't respond well to a pump. Never did. And so no milk was coming out while I was in the hospital. And I was like, oh my God, we're done. It's been, you know, interrupted. We're not going to get to do this easy on him, natural weaning process that I was desiring for us to have. And I got home and sure enough, I could still nurse him. So that gave me some comfort as a mother to still be able to parent him the way that I wished to parent. I'm all for people using formula or breastfeeding, but for me, it was what we were used to and what I still wanted to be able to do. And so I was really glad to still be able to do that without feeling like I was medically forced to make a different decision.
Yeah.
Position-wise, we had to relearn it all over again because my whole stomach had been an incision from just below my solar plexus to right above my pubic bone. And so my whole stomach was an incision. And then to the side of that, I had the colostomy bag, which, if you don't know, probably listeners don't know, it is when your intestine isn't functioning, they give you a bag on the outside of your body for the stool to empty into. And so that functions as where your output of poop comes out. And so that was just inches apart from my incision. And so that basically took up the whole front of me. And so we had to relearn these innovative positions to still get able to nurse and to nurture him that way. And then, you know, over the years, it's been with many surgeries, it's just been an accommodating of sometimes we can be more active and we can do more things and be more involved outside of the house. And sometimes there's going to be stretches where we are homebound, where we're locked down. And this was before COVID. So that wasn't even like on the radar of being part of the lifestyle yet. You know, this was April of 2019. And so I felt like when other people got on their lockdown, I was like, oh, they've kind of joined my lifestyle that I've been struggling through for these many, many months on my own. And now kind of other people can sort of relate to how isolating it felt.
Yeah.
And then I felt bad for them for having to experience that, because that was really hard too. The isolation of not being able to reach out, to go places, to have people over, because you can't even, you know, tend to yourself to have people over unless they're coming to help. After those two initial surgeries, and then I had a complication and had to have another surgery, and received another ostomy of a different kind out of my small intestines, I was on a mission to kind of find ways to release trauma from my body, because I could feel like all this tension and anxiety, and it was just kind of swirling around. And I also have fibromyalgia, so I've had chronic widespread body pain for years, and I felt like all of that was heightening. So I started seeking out therapies, and Western medicine, it saved my life. I'm really grateful for the surgeons, for the technology, for their training. But once I was physically put back together, I was kind of like off on my own just to deal with it. Just, you're going to heal up, you'll be all right. Good luck on that. And I was like, I need more support. I mean, like, my body doesn't feel like it functions the right way in some cases, and I don't feel like I have muscle stability, and I feel like certain things don't function the same. And so I started looking around, and I have really discovered some amazing healing modalities that might be considered alternative or energy medicine, and it has had a profoundly good impact on my healing results. So I am now a Reiki certified Reiki practitioner, because Reiki has been one of the modalities that's really helped me with releasing trapped energy and stored trauma, tension, with understanding myself better, with managing pain, and with managing anxiety. So I learned about Reiki when I was in the hospital. A friend from Colorado sent me Reiki over distance, and I was like, what is that? I don't know what that is. And she's like, oh, it's a healing energy. It'll help you feel better. And I didn't really know what to expect, but it did. It helped me feel better. I felt like the pain I was having felt more manageable. Didn't like take the pain away for me in that situation, but I felt like my ability to weather it was increased. And then it wasn't until many years after that first surgery that I went to a workshop. I found out that inner child work is really beneficial when you've got a lot of stuff going on. And so you start to look at ways to identify where you had unmet needs as a child. We all have that to some degree, something that we wish we had had differently. And you start to learn how to identify that, to reparent yourself, to help that little wounded energy part of yourself heal. And at that inner child workshop, the lady running it mentioned that she did Reiki. And I was like, oh, I heard about that. I had that when I was after my first surgery, but I kind of categorized it as something that happened back then. She invited me to a Reiki circle, and people were sharing energies and helping heal each other and just helping each other feel better. And it opened up my mind and my experience to this whole other option of ways to look at myself and to look at healing, because we innately heal. My body put itself back together. You know, the tissues reconnected, the cell walls reached out, tissues and proteins and the fascia reconnected. But there's also like the experiential trauma that you get from going through something so hard. And you get conditioned, like your brain thinks, oh my God, if something feels similar, it's going to happen again. And so learning to move past that has really helped with those two modalities. And then I've done some womb healing and meditations that have been really powerful, because your pelvic floor and the womb and the sacral chakra, all that happens right where your intestines are. It's all in the same location of your body. And so when that gets disrupted, it can also cause you to have trauma related to those areas. You know, I'm also an artist. And so I felt like my creativity was greatly diminished. I was also in survival mode. So it was like, is it because I'm, you know, in this fight or flight survival mode, or is it because I was physically, you know, cut right there where those energy centers are? And so I've been working on some of that healing. My lymphatic system has struggled as a result of the surgeries. We have a ton of lymph nodes across our abdomens, and mine has been cut open 5 times. And so those lymph nodes and the scar tissue that was created after surgeries have really influenced my lymphatic system. So I've done some lymphatic therapies that have really, really helpful. I've done myofascial release, and I've done scar and abdominal massage therapy. I've done talk therapy and EMDR for my mental health. And those have been super helpful at releasing those stuck patterns of thought that we can get caught up in from a variety of places and reasons. And trauma is interesting in the sense that when you start to kind of peel back a layer and look at it, suddenly other layers want you to peel them back and look at them too. And it can kind of get overwhelming. And having that talk therapy and the EMDR, which is able to help you process old traumas and move past them in a way that the brain doesn't get caught up in those old patterns, and that the emotional side and the logical side kind of come to a better connected, regulated state. That has been a big changing thing for me, like a life-changing thing. I also learned about the practice of self-compassion, because, you know, when you experience a health crisis, it can be hard and it can be challenging and you can feel like you're failing, and it can be easy to kind of beat yourself up about that, to feel guilty for getting in the situation. And I've sometimes felt like I wasn't doing enough, you know, to try to get better. And really I was, but it was just that, and that mindset and energy of like, gosh, the suffering sucks so much. It's so hard.
Yeah.
And I've learned that self-compassion really helps us to realize that we're not alone in being in a challenging situation. It helps us to have techniques to soothe ourselves through that and to feel connected like to others. And so I actually created a retreat about self-compassion. I offer it as like a weekend or a mini workshop. And I am working on trying to get into like a virtual setting where I could share it with people that way also, because self-compassion really helped me through some of those really dark, depressing times.
Yeah. So where is this retreat at?
Yeah, I'm in Missouri in St. Louis. And so I've hosted it here. I rented a cabin. We had like a really secluded area, and yeah, we were able to do yoga and things like that. I've got a few other locations in the St. Louis area that I'm looking at hosting again.
So you're just right now you're just working with local people.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story. It was really inspiring, and I know it will inspire everybody listening as well. And I want you to tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, this whole journey has led me to creating a podcast of my own, which is how we got to know each other. It was through a podcasting group that you host, which I love. You're so supportive and encouraging.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I have a podcast. It's called Lean Into the Light. You can find it on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple, all the main podcast sites. And I also have an Instagram page and a Facebook page, both by the same name, Lean Into the Light.
Okay, cool. And I'll make sure to put a link in the show notes so everybody can find you easily.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mandy.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to go and rate and review. It would mean the world to me. And share it with a friend. Until next time, friend, goodbye.